everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Couch Shows Pantheon. I am Danielle, your host, and as always, I am joined by fellow podcaster and journalist Elliot. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good.
Yeah, same here. As always, we just experienced another round of Champions and Europa League matches, which a lot of them were like unexpected, and some were as we thought we predicted last week. To talk about the Chelsea match against Atletico Madrid, Chelsea winning it 1-0.
Oh yeah, I thought you were gonna ask me a question. My bad. This was a very disappointing match because you, me, and Ryan all picked it, Atletico Madrid to win this comfortably. Obviously, it was negative. The tactics from Simeone didn't really work in the way they work in La Liga. I thought the approach was wrong. I mean, João Félix had him run in the first minute, and then did nothing the rest of the game, even though he was able to contribute in his little ways. But it was a poor performance from him, and I'm not remotely giving him a pass on his performance because it wasn't very good. But at the same time, the system is so defensive, and it works because he's won everything. But also to a point where that system doesn't work to a point also because – He has a lot of attacking-minded players, and he's playing a very defensive system. You put João Félix on Man City, and he's probably got 20 goals a season already, where in this type of system, it doesn't work to the same extent because it's very defensive-minded, which I understand why he does that because they have great defense and the best goalkeeper in the world. But at home, at the Metropolitano, you would expect it a little bit more aggressiveness from their side of things. And they did. They were a little creative. They tried to do some things here and there, but it just didn't work. And on the Chelsea front, they played a brilliant game. They gave themselves an away goal, a wonder goal from Olivier Giroud, who seemed to score some amazing goals in big moments, even though he's not very like highly regarded as a world-class player or anything close to that. But he comes up with the amazing goal to give Chelsea that 1-0 lead, and Atletico Madrid, didn't play the way they should have. They were trailing a little bit, and they just couldn't get anything going. Even though they were the individuals on Simeone's team did what was expected to try to at least give themselves a shot in this game, and they failed to do that. First loss at the Metropolitano since your buddy Antonio Conte's Chelsea beat them several years ago. And I don't think it's over though, because there's a lot of criticism for everything, but they easily can turn this around. If they go to the Stamford Bridge and light them up, then everything will be forgiven. But Thomas Tuchel played a brilliant game for Chelsea. They were the better team in this game, and they deserve their away goal. So the ball's really in Atletico's court right now. And so it's still open, but I think the way they played at home was a little too negative, and it didn't work the way they were, because I think they were kind of playing for a low-scoring game where maybe Atletico could nick a goal, but they're unable to do that. So they have to leave slightly disappointing. But again, they could go to the Stamford Bridge and get a result. But I would not feel that confident from the Atletico Madrid point of view. But again, they have the better players, so they will have a shot. But Chelsea has to feel really good about the situation.
Yeah, 100%. When I was watching, the thing is, I'm starting to turn it to you when I'm watching football now. I'll have one game on the TV, one game on my phone, and so it's kind of like I'm looking. It's like you want to watch one, but then you have to look at the other. So it's like looking back and forth. But that Olivier Giroud goal was insane.
He only scores great goals. He doesn't score tap-ins or little cuts into the box. It's great goals or no goals.
Right, but that goal was beautiful. The bicycle kick, where he knew where he needed to be and just executed that with precision. And, of course, that was the match where it looked like it took, like, 25 millenniums to see if it was actually a goal, which in the end it was. But overall, I mean, Chelsea cannot feel bad with how pulling away with an away goal, especially since the last time the Chelsea won in that stadium was, of course, with Antonio Conte. But I mean, for everything that's holy, they can hang their heads high with pulling off a result from at that stadium. At Lecco, they had all the right pieces and everything, but just had a hard time capitalizing on it. And they were expecting to, defend a little bit more, but it doesn't get the goals. So my real question is, since you've, seen this Atletico Madrid team a little bit more than I have, what is maybe one or two things that they'll need to adjust going into the next match that you've seen personally?
I just think they need to be more aggressive. Felix did some nice things in the midfield, but he was, for the most part, shut down by the Chelsea defense. And it's not – yes, he has to take some blame for this, because I'm not going to give him a pass. But, again, he wasn't able to get into those spaces he usually does, and it's because they were playing such defensive football. I think, to a certain extent, Diego Simeone needs to let him off the leash and let him do. You don't spend $126 million on somebody and make them into a bona fide defensive midfielder. João Felix is a lot of things. A defensive midfielder is not one of those things. He needs to be put in attacking situations. So they need to come out aggressive. And again, I'm pretty sure Liverpool fans hate to repeat this every time, but there was nobody on Chelsea that gave Diego Simeone, who I call psycho, any sort of for the next round. There was nobody saying, oh, this Atletico Madrid is trash. This, you know, it wasn't, you know, no one came out and gave him that extra push, because that's when he wins those sort of back and forth. From a mental standpoint, not counting the Cristiano Ronaldo one, but for the most part, you know, he probably still feels like he's done a good job. I just think they need to be much more aggressive, because, you know, you just look at the situation. You have one of the best young players in the world. Then you have Luis Suarez, who, in my opinion, will put together the greatest season from a striker ever. At least in my lifetime. And he scored in these big games. He's won the Champions League. He's won league titles in multiple countries. And you have to utilize the attacking part of this team more so. Again, they have a very defensive system. And this type of system does work to a point. But it makes it difficult to make it into Champions League situations. Where they go on a final, and he's made two Champions League finals, so I'm not scuffing it at all. But I think he has to be a little more aggressive. Last year against Leipzig, when they had that aggressive approach, Felix comes off the bench, gives Atletico Madrid some life that they did not have going into that game up until that point, and that got them back in it. Again, Tyler Adams scores that goal, and then they get knocked out. But that's not the fault of that situation. So I think aggressively changing just the way they went about it, they can't sit back at Stamford Bridge. They got to hit them on the break if they can. And again, when you have Felix and Suarez, and you have good midfielders who can supply and a good back line, I think they just have to be more attacking minded. But that's not Diego Simeone's football, which is fine. Again, his football is boring, but it's effective. But in this situation, they can't play that style, especially. But again, they can go into their bag, and we saw what they did against Liverpool in that second leg. So he can get that style into a more of an attacking sense. But I don't know. I still think they have a pretty good shot at qualifying. But from Chelsea's point of view, they have to be happy. And with Atletico, they have to adjust, because they can't play the way they did in the first leg and get a result in the second leg. They have to, again, what I always say, they have to. They have to risk losing to try to win this, because you can play defensive football and hope for that Suarez goal, but you need at least a goal. You need two, actually. So You know, so it's just one of the situations where you got to be aggressive. And they haven't really done that. At first leg, maybe they make adjustments, but that's I think what it comes down to more than anything else.
Yeah, 100%. I just hope they're able to, like, figure out, like, some adjustments. Like, you had just said, Joao Felix is amazing. But if you kind of, like, pull the reins in on him, he's not going to perform at the level that we've seen him in, like, in the league itself. But in this kind of, like, situation, they need to just let him do his thing. Let him go out there and perform and give you those, like, the attacking side that we're so used to seeing in La Liga. Because, I mean, defensively, it's great to perform like that, especially if you already know you've secured the, like, result going forward.
Yeah, no, nobody in Europe defends better than Atletico Madrid. They are the mastermind of defensive football. It's it is kind of boring, but it's working. And they've scored, I think they have like 7-1-0 victories this season or something like that. They don't have a ton of goals this season. From Joao Felix, Suarez is obviously killing it. But all I want is Felix to be able to push forward and give service to Suarez. Because if Suarez gets service in the box, you know, he played in the Premier League. He knows how to beat Chelsea. He's done it multiple times, and he's got so many Champions League goals, again. So if you get Suarez some service, you just play more attacking-wise, or else, you know, they just can't sit back in the second leg at Stamford Bridge. Fans are not. That's just not going to work.
Exactly. So hopefully they took this as a lesson and are able to make those much-needed adjustments because, like we said, we thought this was going to be a done deal, like, right out of the back for Atletico, but unfortunately, just because of the tactics alone, it looks like it's going to be a little bit more difficult than they should have made it.
But if you think about it, it is only one goal. So, again, you know how we kind of talk about with Cristiano Ronaldo in Serie A? He just needs one moment to score, to make that impact, to help his team to points. Same kind of situation. Atletico Madrid, and it doesn't have to be but from a particular person. They need one moment to get them back in it. If Joao Felix or Suarez has one moment in the first 20 minutes of that second leg, it's all to play for. So again, they're not in a hole. They're in a slight. They're not in an ideal situation, but I don't think Atletico Madrid should panic. Again, I just don't think they should play approach the game the way they did in the home fixture. But there's no reason to sort of be so concerned because, again, one moment is all it takes, and then Atletico are right back in this. And, again, the thing is, if they can provide a little bit more attacking style of football – then they can suffocate opponents. Because let's not beat around the bush here. If Olivier Giroud doesn't do his crazy shit, this is 0-0. They're not getting anything from this game. So it was little details. And again, I want to give another shout out to Thomas Tuchel, who's done a tremendous job with that team. He's conceded less goals in his first, whatever, 10 Premier League games than the previous three managers. So I think he's done a really good job, and Chelsea did a good job with this. But again, Atletico Madrid aren't far off base here. They just need that goal to get them back in it. And the second Atletico Madrid get that goal, if they score first in Chelsea, all the momentum is with Madrid. Because all due respect to Chelsea, they don't defend like Atletico defends.
Yeah, definitely. Let's just hope for the best for Atletico Madrid, and they do not play again until the week of March 16th, so they got a while to prepare and look. Well, wait, the 17th. So they got a while to prepare, go over the tapes and see what worked, what didn't work, and then they can proceed as needed.
Yep.
Up next, we have your BFFs Lazio losing 4-1 to the Giants of Bayern Munich.
Hey, why don't you go first? Because when it's my turn, I'm probably going to leash for about 7 minutes. So then I'll do my bit.
Okay. First of all, to the people who said that Lazio are the most qualified to overthrow Bayern, please sit down and be quiet. Because you have, obviously, you probably do not watch Bayern Munich often enough to know that they are one of the best footballing teams out there today. This was definitely a result that I expected. Once you saw the first goal from Robert Lewandowski, you pretty much knew that it was game on, and Lazio were going to get slaughtered. And obviously, it was pretty much, even though it was kind of like spaced out, but it was pretty much one goal after the other with Bayern Munich, despite having a little bit of lulls here and there.
Real quick, do you think the way Lazio started that game with that huge mistake? Because again, when Robert Lewandowski retired, that's not a clip they're going to use to justify his career. That was a horrible, horrible back pass that allowed Robert to do what he did. So do you think the way they started the game had anything to do with how they kind of were in cruise control ever since that point?
Absolutely. I noticed that with even certain other clubs out there, like once they make that one crucial error, it just throws their whole mentality off. And that's what Bayern did. Like, they found that opening after that one simple mistake and they ran with it. And it pretty much shook up Lazio to the point where they had a hard time getting back into this. Yeah, they got one back, but I mean, it's Bayern, people. They're one of the best football clubs. They're not going to let this go. I mean, right now in the league, yes, there's an actual physical title race going on. Whereas in recent seasons, they pretty much have walked the league, and then they've also gotten eliminated from some of the domestic cups as well.
They got eliminated from the Diapokal by a second division team in a penalty shootout. And in their last three games that Bayern have played, the last two games they have played, they have 1 point. They got a draw against Armenia Bielefeld, and then they lost to Frankfurt without their best player. So this team wasn't in good form. So I understood. Lazio are in better form than Bayern. Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. It's all reflective to the league that you play in. And I love Serie A. I have respect for Serie A and things like that. But I believe that you have to be reflective of that. And it's not just people who are trying to be optimistic or hate Bayern. I saw intellectual people, people I have respect for, people who are good in the journalism space, people who are well acclaimed by many people, make predictions like 2-2. And again, it was hard for me to think of how you could have made that assumption, even if Bayern had lost the last three games. But anyway, as you were saying.
But yeah, I mean, once that error was made, it was just game on for Bayern. It's just like, let's just show them why we're reigning Bundesliga champions and reigning Champions League winners, and show them, like, what's up. And they gave them the business. They took many chances. Obviously, some missed or were blocked, but majority of them obviously found the back of the net. Lazio are just lucky they didn't make it 7-1 at this point, because they had just so many phenomenal chances. Lazio, I mean, they made so many errors. I mean, you could definitely see it. And we know this is a team that's been struggling even in the league itself. So, I mean, the result was to be expected.
Yeah, in a general sense, but they were on fire for the last, 2 months. So it's not like they're struggling in the sense is they started really slowly, but they are not that far from the top four. And they were playing, if you take out the Inter loss, they were basically winning every game. So they were in great form. They were in better form than Bayern was. But I thought using that as ammo of why Lazio have a chance, I think was misguided, because obviously you can see it. You make stupid mistakes like that. You're gonna make you pay for it. Bayern looked like it's like I always say with Messi. It was like they were breathing different air than the rest of us. And you look at that team, and again, they weren't at full strength. Mueller was out. Bavard was out. They had several pieces out in the midfield. And so they had made several absentees. Serge Gnabry didn't play, who, again, I think Serge would have destroyed them on that. That full still brushed them apart.
Yeah, I mean, overall, this result looks to be expected, and I pretty much like covered what I was going to say. So now I'm just going to hand it over to you for the next however many minutes you want.
So I have a follow-up question. Obviously, the approach that Lazio made was misguided. It was incorrect. It was they approached this game in the worst way they possibly could have. What do you think would have been a better way in Lazio's point of view? Not from a mental point or people saying that they have a chance, but from on the pitch point of view, what do you think they did wrong?
I think they had just forced too many errors, like whether it was like the back footed pass, that was definitely an error. I mean, they just made simple errors that cost them in the long run. If they had took, I think in my opinion, if they took a little bit more time and really like thought about where each player was and really decided to say, oh, okay, I'm in an offside position. Maybe instead of doing a back pass, I could turn around and pass it back using the normal way. So that way, since I'm able to then see where my teammate is fully instead of letting the ball do the back pass, not knowing where your teammate is, and then having the other team being able to like jump on the ball and be able to set up, take it back on the counter. Just simple things like that, like knowing where your teammates were, being able to adjust in certain scenarios that could have, I think, made it a little bit more closer. But like I said, I figured this result was coming though.
Right. No, I understand that. But how do I say this? In terms of lining the team up, would you have done it any differently? Do you think they should have stuck with the back three? Or do you think they should have put more back there? Do you think they should have gone four to the back, five to the back? Do you think they should have just played for a 1-0 loss? I mean, if in hindsight of this game, from Lazio's perspective, how would you have approached it from that standpoint?
I mean, if they had, I would have said put five at the back and park the bus.
I agree, but care to expand on why you think that was the right move?
It would have been the right move because if you have five defenders going up against the attack of Bayern, it's going to make things a little bit more complicated for them to advance in attack. Whereas, I mean, yeah, they use a back three in the league all the time, but this is against a team that has been like the team for the past 9+ seasons. And so they have the depth, they have the strength of the attack, they know, and they're very calculated, so they know where each other's teammates are at all times to find potential openings. So if they were to put like park the bus, it would have made things just a little bit more complicated, and I think at that point it could have maybe been a 1-0 loss compared to the 4-1 slaughtering we saw this week.
If they lost this on a lower score, do you think they would have had more a better chance in leg number two, even if it was in Munich?
I think they could have had a little bit better chance just because they would have, because I mean, one goal loss, 1-0 loss is definitely better than trying to make up ground with four goals and stuff. So, I mean, it would have given them, it would have cut the deficit dramatically.
I mean, yeah. It's almost like a 1-0 loss would have felt like a win. I mean, that's. I think that's the kind of the. Again, I think there's too much optimism about it. It's one thing to believe that your team or the league that you're a team in your league will do well against a great team from a different league. I get all that, but you have to keep it somewhat in perspective. There was a little bit too much delusion. Like obviously it was 4-1. It could have been a lot less, in fairness, but it could have been a lot more. Bayern put this on the gap. And with Serge Gnabry and Thomas Müller on their side, I mean, it's hard to imagine that it just would have been four. I think it would have been borderline humiliation. But this is just who Bayern are. And this Bayern is one of the best we have seen. This is a team that's making the semifinal of the Champions League pretty much every season. Again, they're not making the final every time, but they're at minimum, it seems like they're always in the semifinal. And you're going against a team that, you know, that in the Champions League hasn't lost a game. They've only dropped 1 point, I believe, in this. There was that weird game against Moscow where it looks like they were going to lose. But then, you know, Bayern did what Bayern does and cut back. And then there was obviously the João Felix game where they went down to Atletico. But they ended up getting a point back in the end of that game. Yeah, I mean, you covered the main points of this. I'm not going to beat the dead horse. It was too much optimism. You got to take it somewhat seriously in terms of that. The mistakes doesn't help. The back pass, even the collapsing field on the second goal, which was beautifully put, by the way. The run from Coleman, who hit it, and then obviously the Rosani picked up the scraps in that. And I mean, the third goal. First of all, I want to say that that. So now 18-year-old, actually it's his birthday. Muscala, the kid who scored the second goal, just turned 18 today. On this match, he was 17, and that was his first Champions League goal for Bayern Munich, coming off a beautifully set up pass from Grogatska, who was set up by Davies. I mean, it's just beautiful football. The way it connected so precisely with the three connecting and finding space, and then kaboom. And he's obviously since recently he has been chosen to to represent Germany as his country of choice rather than England. All the right choice there, but I think that was a cool moment for him. And then obviously I mean there's a thousand different ways you can look at this game, but to me it was so there's two players that I think really stuck out. The big bulky center back Sewell. He was the one who tried to you know what I'm talking about, right? Mm-hmm. The big anyway, so he was really good. Defensively he was good and attacking wise. And here's the funny thing about this whole thing. They defended fairly well for a team that apparently is, you know, quote unquote weak at the back. Because they said, oh, this team can't win the Champions because their defense is so weak, this and that. And then Lazio attacked them and did attack them well when they had those opportunities. And Bayern's defense was like, nope, try again later. And it just going. And Carrera had that one amazing move to get that goal. But outside of that, they just ripped apart. And, again, I love this guy. I'm still looking for Kiro Immobile because I didn't see him in that game. I'm file a missing person report because he was he was there, but he wasn't there. He was there in person, but he made no influence on the game whatsoever. And then obviously, cap all the whole thing was Leroy Sané. I mean, what this dude did to the Lazio backline, I'm a Roma fan. I almost felt bad for them because he was surrounded countless times, and it's almost like trying to mark him and gave Lazio's defenders amnesia. They didn't know where they were. They didn't know what their name was. They just forgot everything. Like, because at one point, he just made them so disoriented, so confused. And Leroy Sané was just the best player in this match. He was absolutely outstanding. My favorite moment of this game was the goal. I mean, the goal that he basically set up to cut down the wing that forced Acerbi to put it in the back of his net. And obviously, he was very influential in different areas. But the one right before the half, the one he didn't score, where he was surrounded by three or four Lazio defenders or players in that area. He cuts one way. There's, I think, two Lazio players there. And then he completely misguides it and turns the other way. And the Lazio defender that was marking him was confused. He thought he had him, and then he just kind of disappeared up the other side. And they tried to trap him out up near the sideline, and he just found the space to dribble through it. And, again, he's a world-class player. I know I'm very, very picky with that phrase, But he's a world-class player, and he showed it. And it's just – it's not the fact that he's brilliant and not the fact that he scored and basically had a quote-unquote assist because it ended up being an own goal. But it's kind of also – what just if you just watch that play, look at the body language of Lazio defenders, not this that play, but in general, and he was God, and this was the trump card for me. He struggled in the season. If that's the Leroy Sané we see in the Champions League for the rest of this campaign, nobody stopped. I'm wearing a Neymar jersey as we speak. Even if Neymar comes back and Mbappe doesn't choke in the big games. If they play like they did against Lazio, and they have Müller, and they have Gnabry available, and Sané's playing like that, like, good God, who's going to beat this team? Because I'm not sure any human can beat them. You'd almost need like 11 Messis to take this team down. So they're just so good, and they showed that quality. And if you like, they made like a real statement because you watch that game and you're like, yeah, no one's fucking beating them. Come on. Like, we want to entertain the fact that, oh, Man City is a really good team. They have all this. They have Pep Guardiola. They can take Bayern down. And then you watch that game and you're like, nope. Oh, PSG have Neymar and Mbappe and Di Maria. And they're this really great team with a new coach with some new energy. They ripped apart Barcelona. But then you watch the game like, they're not beating them either. I don't think anyone could beat this team, genuinely.
Yeah, I mean, Leroy Sané, I was watching him. I'm like, hello, what's up, buddy? Because I've heard of the name before, but I really didn't know him. But that...
Okay, here's what you would know. Remember, there was a player that came out with the Farmer League. He defuncted the Farmer League? He was the player who defuncted those comments. So not only and the funny thing is, before he made that statement, he was struggling, and since he's made that statement, he's been on fire. He's quickly becoming one of my favorite players, not just because he's brilliant and amazing, but because he also said the Farmer League conversation. He brought light to it, and just a quick backtrack: he German international played with Pep Guardiola in Man City. Part of those two of those Premier League titles, moved from City to Bayern this summer, and then obviously I laid out the rest, but wow. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, because I'm like, I heard the name before, but I'm like, where did I, because I remember Sané in the Premier League for a while, but I didn't, forgot it was him.
Yeah, that's the one.
But now, since I was actually really able to see him, like, do what he does, I'm like, where you been hiding? Because that performance was just amazing from him. I'm like, hello. Yes.
And I didn't even mention Joshua Kimmich, who was brilliant too. That's how good they were.
I know.
Like, I named a whole bunch of players, and I didn't even name their best, Bayern's best player, because all their other surrounding parts were so amazing.
Right. But yeah, that was the overall good performance by Bayern. We expected nothing less from them.
Yeah. Real quick before you move on, second legs in a couple weeks. Do you think Bayern will just kind of see it out, or do you think it's hampered? How bad is it going to get? Is this going to be Barcelona bad, or is this, what do you think the final score on it will be?
Oh, that's a good question. I think if Lazio don't like adjust their formation, I think this could. I think they may just hold on to the 4-1 lead because they have a great defense. But I wouldn't be surprised if this on aggregate finishes at least 6-2 at most.
All right, I'm gonna stick with what I said. I think Bayern get 9. So that's. I don't know if they'll do that though, because they have 4 away goals. I think they'll win it 3-1. So that would put them, what is that? That'd be 7-2 on aggregate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'd say that. But I think it's, again, if Bayern really want to light them on fire, which Bayern, if Bayern, please, please do this, because I think that would be hilarious. I want to see Bayern win this like 13-1 on aggregate. I just think that'd be hilarious. But I, in the end, I think they'll probably just get another couple goals. They don't have to worry too much. They're through. No one's beating this team. Again, you almost have to hand pick a starting 11 to beat them. no team as constructed right now can beat them. Again, I think PSG could beat them on a one-off if they played one game. Maybe Neymar-led PSG can beat them. But I just don't think over two legs anyone's stopping this machine.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Now we're moving on to Wednesday. We had a couple great matches here. We had Man City winning 2-0 against Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Yeah. Again, I think Gladbach did a lot better than I think anyone expected. Man City didn't rail them like I thought they would. The two goals scored in this game, I'm not sure that could have been avoided. Again, Gladbach did not attack well enough, and it just continues to be an issue for them. But as far as just keeping it close, I think they did a good job of that. I don't think that Gladbach can take them out, but even if they go down swinging and they lose this, what, like, I don't know, 5-2 or something like that, I think that could be – you could look at that. It's like, okay, they at least made this – they didn't embarrass themselves. And I think that's a key part of it. And then but Man City, I mean, believe it or not, they've won 19 games in a row. I mean, they're just no stopping them right now. There is a team in Munich that can stop them. But outside of that, I think they comfortably did this. They got a couple of good goals. They kept it exactly where they need it. It's not over because never say never. The gap is not big enough for us to just declare that the tie is over. I think it's more or less over, but I'm not gonna continue to dismiss that. But the form of Gladbach is really bad right now. Ever since the announcement of Marco Rose joining Dortmund next season, they just haven't been the same team. There's like I said on the Deutschland Football Hour, I think they've irritated their fans. They feel betrayed, and there are players inside of the team that also feel the same way that the fans feel. So maybe that's part of it. But again, considering everything that's going on and how bad they've looked, they did look at this in a situation and they managed to get away with it only being 2-0, which is, I think, a pretty remarkable result considering the fact that Man City probably could have scored another 3 or 4 goals just based on the fact that they're the much better team. But Gladbach get away with it being competitive. Because the last thing you want as a footballer is it being like 6-1 after one leg or 5-1. So it's still up for grab, in theory. So I think that's the best performance Gladbach can play in the last couple of weeks. And they just don't humiliate themselves. And I think in this situation, that's just their aim because, Man City's just not losing anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree. They did a great job attacking-wise. They created many opportunities. They were able to isolate the defense of Man City, were able to isolate the attack of Mönchengladbach. To be honest, I feel bad for Sommers. He deserves way better than this at times. But overall, he prevented it from being the score from being a lot worse than what it could have been.
I don't think it would have been way worse, but he kept at least one goal off the score sheet.
But yeah, Sommers, oh my gosh, I think I'm gonna wear his top on Sunday just because I haven't worn it yet. But overall, this was a great match from start to finish. It kept me interested because I'm gonna be brutally. Can I be brutally honest with some of these football matches?
Sure.
Some of these matches are to the point where I'm just sitting there with the remote and I just turn it off because it just is boring to me. And I'm like, but this match just kept me intrigued from start to finish, which was definitely a breath of fresh air. But yeah, I mean, good job to Man City. Good job on keeping your momentum going. And we'll see you in the next leg. Up next are our poor friends, Atalanta. Losing 1-0 against a also cruddy Real Madrid team?
They were our poor friends until the Atlanta fans started talking on social media after this game as if they were done wrong, which they were, but that makes the result not justified. I'm sorry to report, Atlanta fans, you had two shots, two, whole game. Do you know how many of those shots were on target? Zero. Real Madrid had 19 shots for on target. Real Madrid are rubbish. They were lucky to get a goal. But to say that they were completely robbed because a harsh red card happens in the first half is just ridiculous. Just chill out. This is the only Italian team in Europe this week that I wanted to win. But, you know, it was just a horrible performance. Gasperini, you can talk about that these referees are not real referees. They don't do this. They don't do that. That we need real referees reffing our games or we're going to get screwed. I'm going to say this again. Two shots the whole game. And you're saying you got screwed. I'm sorry. So if your player isn't sent off, do you then score goals? Like, it's I understand the argument, but it's just such a dumb logic. Because we had a controversial red card that shouldn't have been red card, that means that the result that happened wasn't deserved. Again, that's not the big deal, though. You know, screw the red card. The red card is not what people should be focusing on, and I don't know why this is not being looked at more. Duvan Zapata leaves this game, I think, before the end of the first half. He is, legitimately speaking, the most important player. He's the most impactful. In the old days when Papu was there, when Papu didn't perform, Zapata always stepped up. They basically don't have a source of goals without him. And he goes, you know, he leaves the game after the first half. Atlanta were horrible. You can say that Real Madrid stink, which they do, but Alonso didn't do enough. They didn't create enough chances, and I think that's more on Zapata than a red card that probably shouldn't happen. You know, in another sense, Real Madrid's team had half their players were injured, and they nicked that goal at the end, a great goal by Mendy, who definitely should be on France's Euro squad, but he gets that goal. Real Madrid take it into the second leg. One away goal. They're in good position to go through. I'm pretty sure every team and you know is going to want Real Madrid in the next round because this is just really not a very good team. So, I mean, I think anybody in the second, whoever qualifies will not be upset if they get Real Madrid just because they're not very good. But if Zapata can't go in second leg, even if it's 1-0, I just don't see a scenario where Atlanta some way get back into this game and try to really do something here. Zapata needs to be playing for them to have a chance. Even if Real Madrid are rubbish and stink, they have players who did not play because of injury. So they're going to have a better squad in the second leg if these players recover. And, you know, no one was great. I mean, Modric was excellent. Modric was probably the one player who I thought, like, wow, what a performance. And Mendy played well, obviously, but the rest, there wasn't really an outstanding performance from either. There's a lot of controversy. It was very tense. But the red card doesn't help, but Zapata getting injured just kind of killed any chance of a comeback. We'll see how long he's out. If you're Atlanta, though, you better hope that he can play the second leg because you mutually have no chance without him.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, Real Madrid, didn't we even say this match would be close between the two? Didn't we say Real Madrid would win this, like, on aggregate, like, 2-1 or something?
You said you picked them to win 3-2. Wait, you picked Real Madrid to win 3-2 on aggregate, but you might – I don't know what you picked yet for this one. I picked this one to be – I picked Atlanta 2-0 because I was intending on Zapata being to take advantage of a Real Madrid team that has all these injuries. But then Zapata gets injured before the second half. So that kind of killed my pick just because of that, because I was putting all my money and all my stake into him being fit. So when he's not fit, then it's a whole different situation. But we were close in terms of our evaluation, because this was a very difficult one to pick.
Yeah, so, I mean, overall, I mean, things, both sides aren't performing fairly well regardless, but, I mean, fair, good result for Real Madrid. At least they have, I think this one took place in the Bergamo, right?
Yeah, they have an away goal. So as long as Real Madrid doesn't do anything too stupid in the second leg, they should go. If Zapata plays, then maybe not. But if he can't play, they're in trouble.
Yeah. So I mean, we'll just have to see what happens. There should probably be at some point a updated report. Like if we don't see him in the match this weekend. And in the
he's not playing this weekend. He has a thigh injury. He has had previously thigh injuries. They according to the report I read yesterday, he could be back, but it seems unlikely right now, because it seems like it's going to be a couple of weeks. He's had similar injuries before. Again, so Zapata is a physically strong and tough athlete who takes care of his body. So I think there's an opportunity for him to play. I think he will be back he'll definitely be back this season. The question is whether he can gain full health until for that second leg, because if he's not at full health for the second leg, I'd be shocked if Alonso even just give himself
right.
a chance.
So we'll see what happens, but so far Real Madrid have their away goal, and if they don't do anything too outrageous and they're able to hold on, they're obviously going to be the ones going through. Up next, we have the Europa League.
Wait, hold on. Who's playing? Let's take a little look on the Champions League next week. You know who plays next week in the Champions League?
Actually,
let's just run through.
They
quick.
Do not play next week, however, but they do play the week after, because we get a little bit of a break next week.
Okay. What about so? Who plays that week?
Let's see. Let me get it. At the top there. On March 9th, we have Juventus facing Porto again.
Wait. So it's just the first round of games we saw. So I'm guessing it's Porto, Juventus, Sevilla, Dortmund,
PSG, Barcelona, and then Liverpool versus Leipzig. So it's just basically the return fixtures.
All right, let's just go quick then. What do you think happens in the Porto game?
I think Porto get another goal and they win this 3-1.
Are you going to pick Porto to win that game? Or the tie? The game or both?
I'm saying they're going to win it all.
Okay. So the game, in the second leg, so Juventus can win the second leg and still lose the tie. Do you have them winning the game itself, or are you talking just the full tie?
I'll just get my aggregate score, because it's so much easier.
No, I will calculate it for you. Remember, it's a 2-1 game right now, so Juventus can still go through with. So, who do you think will win the game, and then I will do the aggregate score. Yeah, you have Porto going through. So, anyway, who do you have winning that specific game, the second leg?
What's I think be Porto score? Win 1-0.
Okay, so that would be 3-1 right. In aggregate. I'm gonna go. I don't think Porto can go to Juventus and win. I'm going to think Juventus will win this 3-2, which would mean that – hold on. Okay, so Porto have the 2, it would be 3, and then they have the 1. Hold on a second. So it's 2-1, right? Sorry, I'm just confusing myself. I'm going to say 3-2, and I think – see, so hold on. So the first leg was 2-1. That would be 4. Okay, yeah. So I Juventus win, but Porto has the more. They have 2 away goals. They would have 2 away goals, so that they would go through. Barcelona. I have news on that. Neymar may go against Barcelona. His injury is coming to an end, and he may be fit for Barcelona. For PSG. Sorry. He's fit for PSG against Barcelona. Is there a miracle comeback coming from Messi and company, or is it just more of the same?
On the same day, we have Borussia Dortmund facing Sevilla.
Well, we also have Barcelona in the same week, yes, right? Yes,
but they're playing the 10th.
Okay, well, that doesn't matter. Just predict that one, and then we'll predict the other one.
I think Paris Saint-Germain hold on, because they definitely have a little bit more well-rounded squad, where in Barcelona, I mean, yeah, you have Lionel Messi, but with just the team that he has, it's probably not going to happen. So
what's your score in that game?
The score itself, I think Paris Saint-Germain win the match 2-1, just giving Barcelona at least a little something.
Okay, so that'd be 6-2 on aggregate. I'm going to say 3-0. Again, if Messi were able to pull this off, it'd be the greatest thing he's ever done in his career, because the team is very good. So I have a PSG going through 7-1 on aggregate. Sorry, Messi.
Then we have Borussia Dortmund versus Sevilla.
3, this is in Dortmund, yeah, 3-1 Dortmund, so they go through.
Yeah, 6-2. That's what I'm thinking, because, I mean, 6-3. We all know Erling Haaland, oh my word, he's just going to do what is needed, and they're going to obviously go through. And the last one will be Liverpool versus RB Leipzig.
I think RB Leipzig, they come back, but it's not enough, so I'm going to say that it's a 2-2 draw, but because of the two goals that Liverpool already have, it's not enough. It's 4-2 Liverpool.
Yeah, so. And then the next return fixtures of the matches that we just saw won't be until the 16th and 17th. So do you want to preview those?
So no, just one at a time. So there's no Champions League next weekend, right? Okay. Are we on an international break in all?
Just Champions League. And Europa League.
Okay. All right. Let's get into the Europa League crap, and then I'll save the Italian teams for last, so you can ask me, and then you can ask me questions about the Braga game. Spurs 4-0 against Wolfsburger. They advance 8-1 on aggregate. Vinicius scores twice. Bale scores again. Tottenham just making
light work
of Wolfsburg.
Yeah, I figured this result was coming. I mean, despite Wolfsburger, this isn't Wolfsburger in Germany. This is the generic brand Wolfsburger you get in Austria. This was to be expected. So overall, there's really not a lot of takeaways that, except the fact that Tottenham dominated, terminated, and exterminated them to the fullest extent of the law.
So a game that was not in balance was Ajax and Lille. Ajax get 2 goals, go through 4-2 on aggregate against title contenders Lille in France.
Yeah, that was definitely a great result, because I know things with Ajax started off a little dicey, but they were able to just hold on for dear life and get those 2 goals. And, I mean, they performed very well. And, no, I am not sorry for the meme I created, but anyway, back to the point. But yeah, just great job to Ajax. They did what was needed, and of course, we're going to see them in the round of 16.
Unfortunately, we are. All right, Shakhtar Donetsk against my friends from Israel, Maccabi Tel Aviv. Just 1 goal in this one. Convert from the spot. Shakhtar, come away with a 3-0 over the 2 legs. Good point for Shakhtar. They weren't overly dominating these 2 games. So we'll just see what happens in the next couple of games that they have to play. But they did what they had to do against Maccabi Tel Aviv. Is it Maccabi? Yeah, Maccabi Tel Aviv. So good for Shakhtar to finish the job.
Yeah, 100% agreed. They went out, got the one goal to spread their lead a little bit more. And they just pretty much at that point held on for dear life, and overall they come away with the result.
All right. This is crazy. This over two legs, this match 13 had
goals.
15 goals. So 14 goals. Rangers 5-2 against and 9-5 on aggregate. Really, really, really fun. High scoring affair in both games. Steven Gerrard's side lives to fight another day. Again, I don't think this Rangers team is contending for glory or anything like that. But good job. Rangers are finally in a legitimate Europa League, a situation. And Antwerp, thanks for playing, but goodbye.
Yeah, that result was insane. Because when I was doing these matches and stuff, and since there's a couple, all of them are on in one day, so I was like occasionally I was watching whatever one was on TV, and then just bouncing between a few of the other ones just to see what was going on. But this result was like, goodness, it was back and forth. But of course, Rangers get the 5-2 win and spread out their overall goal difference. And they were able to get the job done in a big way.
All right, now we're going to go to one of the most exciting games of the second round. Arsenal Benfica. Just tell the people what did I message you halfway through that game? Just so the people know the situation.
For those who were late to the party, me and Elliot messaged each other during halfway through the game, and he said Arsenal are in big trouble.
So for people who don't know, Arsenal and Benfica had a 1-1 game at the Stadio Olimpico, which is technically it was classified as a home game for Benfica. And again, Aubameyang comes up big in the game and gets that first goal, but then Benfica scored twice, which gave them the advantage on the away goal rule. And then in comes Tierney getting a goal to bring it level. So going into that stretch, it was going to be a Benfica win because they had the two away goals, where Arsenal just had one of them, and then Pierre and Beep Aubameyang, 87th minute, puts Arsenal into the round of 16. Happy for Ryan. We'll get into the draws because after we do this, I'm gonna just I'm gonna read off the next match so we can react to them. But I wanted Roma to draw Arsenal just because I think that would be fun. But they get through. It was tough. It was gritty, but they had to feel happy about them getting through, especially because it happened. It was a little dicey until the very end, until Aubameyang settled it.
And Ryan, I haven't said this in a while, but at least you guys have Aubameyang. But yeah, that was definitely a great match to watch. They were definitely in trouble going in halfway into the match, but they were able to hold on and pull away with the win, which is just amazing in itself.
All right, Hoffenheim, you fucking choke artists. You pathetic excuse for a football team, at least this season. Terrible in the boot. Remember, everybody, she's the only team that's beaten this season, and they did it handily, so that's just pathetic.
Did it get hot in here?
But, no. Molde gets the 2-0 win. They knock out Hoffenheim 5-3 on aggregate. Two goals from Erik Onlund Andersen, remember, this is the club that Erling Haaland originally came from before he went to RB Salzburg and then Dortmund. But good for them. They have a puncher's chance to get into the next round. And then, I guess Hoffenheim are bigger clowns than I thought. 27 shots, 9 on target. And Molde had 3 shots, 2 on target, and 1-2-0. Can't write this shit.
Based on the stats, what the hell, man? Choke artists. I mean, how? How does that happen? But, yeah, talk about choke artists. Holy mackerel. But, yeah, great job for Molde. And I've always been curious, where is Molde located?
It's in It's in Norway. You know, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, mm-hmm. the Man United coach. So he was managing them before he went to Man United, and Erling Haaland played there before he went to Salzburg. So it's in Norway. They usually do fairly well in the Europa League. I think they're the best team in Norway, but don't quote me on that one. But that's just what I think right now. So respectable team, but not going to take down a giant like that. But good job of taking out Hoffenheim. Then we have another good one. Villarreal, RB Salzburg. Villarreal finishing the job. Brian's best friend, Unai Emery, getting to the round of 16. Do you know what's funny? I really wanted them to draw Arsenal again just for that storyline. So I kind of hope that Villarreal and Arsenal get into the quarterfinals against each other, because I think that'd be hilarious. So Salzburg didn't show up, got 1 goal in this, and Villarreal just handled this pretty easily.
You pretty much hit the nail on the head. They did what was needed, and they went home.
All right, let's see here. Leicester City just got cracked by Slavia Prague over 2 legs. They won 2-0 in the second leg. I don't know what to say. I'm kind of speechless. Jamie Vardy, James Maddison. I don't know how this happened. But again, it's kind of also funny at the same time. But good job to Slavia Prague.
I was speechless. I mean, to be honest, that was one of the matches that I was really more watching, like, even though I bounced between a couple ones on my phone. But this was the one that kind of intrigued me more, since they had a draw going into this match. So this match was going to be the deciding factor. So I was like, okay, what is Leicester going to do? Like, are they going to be able to pull off a victory, or are they going to, like, end up taking more reserve approach and then just end up taking out of it altogether? So this was the main one. One of the main ones I was keeping my eye on, and Slavia Prague just executed flawlessly and got the result, and they're moving on.
Yeah, this was at the King Power Stadium too. To us, the Foxes, as they say, got choked it again. There's a West Ham midfielder, Sukuk, I think is his name, who used to play for Slavia Prague. And there was a video that went viral. It was after they had beaten Leicester, knocked him out of the competition. They were on the one of the players on Prague was FaceTiming him, and he was wearing his Prague jersey on FaceTime. And I thought that was really kind of funny. Let's see. This one was a pretty good game. It took until the very end, but Dynamo Kiev took out Club Brugge with a very limited amount of shots, but in the 83rd minute, settled it. Dynamo Kiev goes through 2-1.
There's not really much to say except that despite the few shots Dynamo Kiev took, they basically just needed that one goal to secure the advancement. So I think more so their tactic was try to get a goal early and then just hold on for dear life, just enough to secure the victory and to move on. And it looks like they did just that.
All right. There's nothing really to say about this one. Man United got a 0-0 draw with Real Sociedad, but they had four goals in the first game, so who cares? They're through. Congratulations. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, pretty much.
To Man United. 0-0. Yeah, there.
Nope.
Yeah, so there's not much here to say. All right. Dynamo Zagreb get through past Krasnodar 4-2 on aggregate. Good up on you for the Croatians to get to the round of 16 with a good chance to go even further.
Yeah, same thing. Good job getting through. And if I'm remembering, this was the club that is pretty much the stepping stone for a lot of the people on their Croatian national team, if I remember correctly from my studies.
Yeah, I think Mario Mandzukic played there. I don't think Dzeko did, but basically players that come from that area of not just Croatia, but that area of Europe, a lot of them tend to play for that. They're a giant in that part of the country. A really good one here that came down to the very, 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 very end. PSV against Olympiakos. Remember, this was a really close game. This was 2-1. Olympiakos go 5-4 in aggregate. PSV scored twice in the first half. And then in the 88th minute, Olympiakos pummels that strike in the back of the net and goes through in a very dramatic fashion. And their players
were going crazy afterwards. Yeah, this match was also another one I was checking out. But great job to Olympiakos doing what was needed. And, I mean, like, it came down to the skin of their teeth, literally. But overall, they advance and... good luck.
All right. And then, my friends, young boys beating Leverkusen 2-0 and Leverkusen going down. Again, taking out one of the favorites to win the competition, doing everybody a service, at least teams that are actually contending for it. What are your thoughts on young boys? Despite Leverkusen having three away goals, they finished the job against the German
this
Giants.
Was definitely a great result. They were behind like early on, but they came back and secured this thing in a big way. And they basically just eliminated one of the main threats going forward. So good job, young boys, for doing that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Appreciate it. My nightmare can't come true, so I do really appreciate it. Again, you know our friend who punched Mickey in the face. He didn't play. He wasn't on the bench or in the game again. So I'm just guessing it was more than a one game suspension. It never came out. There was no information about it. But he wasn't on the bench, and he's their best defensive player. So there's no reason why he wouldn't be in the game if he had played. So maybe it was a two-game ban. But, again, maybe we'll be talking a week. Maybe it was more than that. We will we'll have to see. I think that's all for the that's all of the games have nothing to do with Italy. All right. Napoli go out 2-1. 3-2 on aggregate. In the other episode we did with Ryan, you kind of defended Napoli. Are you ready to retract? Are you still going to hang on for the second?
I'm going on the record, and I would like to retract all claims that I met.
because remember when we were talking about this with Ryan the last weekend, or I think it was this week, wasn't it? I don't even remember. You had said you were criticizing Napoli for not living up to the hype, but you also gave them the benefit of the doubt. So just for the people now, she's now retracting those statements. They never come out of her mouth.
Unless she listens to that episode, I am 100% taking those statements back. But, I mean, good grief. This match, this was the one that was on TV, and I was looking at this match very clearly, obviously, because obviously being on TV. But... this, I was literally like, Napoli, what are you doing? And I'm like, come on, guys, score one more. It was like getting close to the end, and they were pushing hard. I'm like, come on, guys. But it's just like they kept making simple mistakes that kind of like saw them go bye-bye. So with that, I'm sorry, guys, you got eliminated, but I'm currently retracting those statements I said in earlier episodes.
Okay, just making sure. I just want to give you an opportunity. Again, Granada, great job. Napoli score early, and then Granada get the one goal, and that's all they needed. Even though Napoli had 22 shots and 7 on target, they still couldn't get more than the 2 goals. So, Forza Granada, good job, guys. All right, very close. AC Milan getting a 1-1 draw with Red Star Belgrade. 3-3 on away goals. Milan goes through. Thoughts and feelings about your beloved friends.
Let's see. What? Red Star Belgrade, you had one job, and that was to eliminate AC Milan. But good job to Milan, but I hate you.
I mean, their only goal was a penalty as well, and Belgrade was down to 10 men. And I'll say this, if there were fans in the stands, ain't no way in hell that AC Milan is getting 2 away goals in that first game. I'm not saying they would have blown them out, but come on. With those fans in the stands, if the fans were in the stands for the first leg, like, there's the away goals that Milan had wouldn't have happened. Liverpool lost with Mohamed Salah, Sadio Mane, and Roberto Firmino and Alisson and all the weapons that they have. A few years ago, the year they won the Champions League, they lost to Red Star Belgrade in Belgrade, 3-0. Okay, that was a team that went on to win the Champions League, and they lost 3-0 in Belgrade. Maybe I think it was 3-1 actually. Mohamed Salah scored one, but just to let people know of the impact of what their fans can be. All right. And then it's just us, so you can ask me questions
about
it.
Well, obviously, first and foremost, what are your thoughts and reactions going on through?
I mean, I kind of expected this to happen. Not too much to take from it other than the fact that Dzeko scored in a second straight game and then got hurt, so we won't see him for 3 weeks. So I don't like that because – now, Muriel, I don't know where he'll be at when we have to play our next game in the Europa League. But I like the idea of Muriel not having to, you know, to sit, you know, to be able to sit in the Europa League game. And now he obviously will have to play in that game as well. So there'll be a lot of minutes he'll have to accumulate. El Shaarawy's back, looked great. Set up the first goal. Dzeko scored his 22nd Europa League goal, which not that it matters, but he's the 15th leading scorer in the history of the competition. And he has increased his goal tally for European goals for Roma. Good for him. And then what else? Rick Carr's doing great. He's quietly becoming one of the best wing backs in European football. He's been phenomenal this season. He was another great game from him. And then, yeah, not really much to take. It's just, you know, Roma just did what they were supposed to do. They got the 3 goals. They got – Braga got one as their own goal, so it didn't really matter. But Roma were already basically through. It sucks losing Dzeko to injury, but, you know – I think Roma are in a good place right now. They did made this pretty simple for themselves. And
yeah, 100%. I kind of figured that after they got the a good solid lead early on in the first leg, all they had to do was just maybe get one or two more goals and just put.
All
you needed was like that one or two goals, and then you were good. So, I mean, there's really not a lot of takeaways except that Dzeko scored in his second match and got injured, which is unfortunate. But, I mean, there's not really much to take from it other than those, like, key point.
All right, you are you
yep, ready? I already have it.
I mean, you probably know already, but I just want to get your I just want your reactions to the Europa League draw, and you can just say which team you're leaning on to go through, and any additional thoughts. Since we just talked about not that long ago, we're going to talk with about our buddy Ryan Arsenal taking Olympiacos. Remember, Unai Emery's last season with Arsenal, or last stretch with Arsenal, whatever you want to call it. I think it was last year. They played Olympiacos in the I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was round of 16. No, I think it was – I don't remember what it was. Forget it. But they had played in the Europa League not that long ago against Olympiacos, and Olympiacos beat them. Does history repeat itself, or do you feel like Arsenal will
– I mean, obviously Olympiacos have new players on their team just like Arsenal does, but they're pretty much have their core group of players they're going to rely on. But based on – like if they Arsenal really research this team and really look at the footage of their past matches, I think Arsenal may get this go through on aggregate 3-2.
Yeah, I think Arsenal will go through, but I can't sneeze at Olympiacos. They're always in European competition for a reason. They're good. Yeah, I mean, so I think they have a chance to go through. I think it's a favorable draw for Arsenal, but at the same time, you can't sneeze. Again, if I was in a situation, I might view that differently. But I think it's open. But I think Arsenal have the edge in terms of what we can suspect to see. Man United,
my man supports Man United, so I'm like, you know, you got a hard matchup ahead of you. He's like, oh, because he hasn't seen the draw until I told him about it. He's like, oh, crap, we have to face your rivals. I'm like, yep. But, I mean, overall, it depends on what Milan we get from this, because I know in league they've been struggling. And then in European competition, they just seem to, like, dominate. But it'll depend on which one decides to show up. But I think it'll be a close one. I think this will go into extra time. And I will say, oh, I'm going to have to wash my mouth out with soap again. But I think Milan will win this 3-3, but going into extra time. And then they get the extra goal and stoppage time in the advance.
I'm not laughing because of your pick. I'm laughing about what I'm about to say. I got good news for you. Man United gonna beat the brakes off Milan. I got Man United winning 6-2 on aggregate. Because Milan are in horrible form. And look, you know what's going to happen. Premier League team is going to win. They're going to say, oh, we're warriors. We're the best league in the world. It's bullshit. But they have Bruno Fernandes. They have Marcus Rashford. They've been good this season. I just don't see a situation where a team that has Bruno and a team is going to falter. They have good players. They defend decently well. They can score goals. And then you have the dark horse, the blackjack kind of player, Edison Cavani. Edison Cavani has 200 goals just with PSG, and he's done well this season. And they still have Paul Pogba. When he's at his best, he's special. They just got too many weapons that they can hurt Milan. Milan will do something because they have, but on paper, they don't look amazing. You know what I mean? They have good players, but if you just looked at these two teams on paper, there's no, you know what I mean? They just don't have a significant figure that sticks out. And if Milan really go for this, they could sabotage Champions League place in Italy. So I think they're going to really focus on the league and trying to hold it. Again, they have Donnarumma. Maybe it's not six, but I do see Man United coming through this. And again, anyone who's complaining about the strength or weakness of your draw, shut up. Here's the thing. If you are a team that believes you can win it, you don't want a weak team. Actually, getting a weak team when you're one of the favorites is the worst thing that can possibly happen to you because you're not tested. You want to be tested. You want to be physically, mentally, and emotionally. You want to feel a roller coaster ride because beating a team, like if Man United or Milan go through and they beat that team and go down swinging and they go into the quarterfinals, you're going to feel so much momentum that we just took this team out who's really good. Why would we fear anybody else? So just for people who are whining about who they drew, if you're a winning team, you should just don't whine about who you got. You should want a tough matchup. And Man United and Milan fans both have been saying this, and they got a tough one. All right, Dinamo Kiev.
Villarreal. I mean, I'm leaning towards Villarreal winning 3-1 on aggregate.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be close, but Villarreal, I think they have it.
And also in regards to the Man United match, come on, Man United.
Ridiculous. All right, Ajax versus Young Boys.
I mean, just based on what we've seen from the round of 32, I think I got Young Boys going through 3-2.
So the spray isn't going to be strong enough to make these Young Boys go away. Come on. The Young Boys is a nice story. Thank you for knocking out Bayer Leverkusen, but sorry, you're going home. Ajax is just you don't fuck around with Ajax in competitions like that, and they're just too. For Young Boys to be able to mess with them. All right, Rangers versus Slavic Pride.
I say Rangers go through 4-2.
I don't know why. I just want Slavic because Rangers fan can be annoying and they'll be insufferable if they make the next round. But I'm just feeling the Prague thing. I like teams who have crazy fans, so I'm going to go with the Prague to knock them out.
I got Spurs going through 5-2.
I got Spurs. I got Zagreb 13-1. I'm just kidding. I guess I have to pick Spurs. No, I'm not. I'm just gonna say we're gonna say a shocker. Zagreb win 3-2 on aggregate. They're a tough team, and I think they won't be treated as they won't. Spurs won't give them respect they deserve, and also I just because of Ryan, I want them to get knocked out before Arsenal. All right, Granada Molde, probably the easiest tie between the two. One of these two teams is going to make the quarterfinals, which is beautiful. But who you lean between?
Granada and Molde. I think Molde. I'm just saying for the hell of it.
I think La Liga has probably better players than players from Norway. I don't know, though. That's a tough one. I'm going to say Granada, though. I'd love to see Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and play against his former team. And then Molde just ripping them apart because he signed with Man United 6 days after signing a contract extension with Molde. And I think that was kind of bullshit, but, you know. That is what it is. All right. Obviously, the main attraction of this competition, the most successful team in Europe, the only team over two legs in Italy that have won both of their games. Obviously, Roma and Shakhtar Donetsk. This is tough because Shakhtar Donetsk plays great attacking football, but seeing that Maccabi Tel Aviv hung on in both of those games longer than they should have. I think Shakhtar is just too open, and I think Roma will take advantage of it. And remember, Paolo Fonseca, former coach at Shakhtar, so he knows the program. He knows a lot of those same players that are still there. He'll have a game plan to to figure out how to take them out. And but again, this will be really tough. I think it'll be very close, but I think Roma get a slight advantage here just because they have a better team and Paolo Fonseca does.
Like, do you have a score prediction?
I'm not going to give score for my team. I don't want to give score prediction because I just don't want to. I just rather not give a score prediction at this moment. I think for other games I'm willing to do it, but not for this one. I'm just going to keep it as Roma go through. I don't know how it happens. I'm guessing there will be at least 5 goals between the two teams, but I'm going to keep it. I'm not going to make a score prediction, but I see Roma winning this one.
It ends in a 2-2 draw. And Roma get one of those goals in extra time.
if it's Carlos Perez, I'm gonna shit myself.
But yeah, I mean that's really hard because I especially last year. I mean, yeah, we beat Shakhtar, but they. On their day, if it was over the course of 2 legs and it was more of a 2 leg thing, Inter would not have made it as far as they did. But it's just hard to say because Shakhtar are strong on counterattacks and they're a great attacking team. But it
goes into Roma's favor though because they play open because of their counterattacking play. Sometimes there's gaps in the back, and this is my theory on this. Roma are a great counter-attacking team as well. And even if their defense is not completely healthy, they will be healthier when they play these games. And if Roma can get on the break as well, but they don't play as open as Shakhtar does, you can exploit Shakhtar with the way they attack. So all the Roma needs to do is basically slow the attack and then make it so Shakhtar just basically has to run back on defense and with the speed and athleticism that Roma have in this team, it's going to be difficult for them to contend with that if they leave too much space back there. So that's the big takeaway of why I think that this team is kind of going towards that, you know, Roma advantage. But, you know, as you said,
we'll see what happens. I mean, and then of course this week we have a lot of great matches in Serie A for this Liga and all that jazz. So
real quick, One more thing before we head out. Last week I asked you to give me 4 favorites. Considering the teams that are left, who are your top 3 favorites in this competition that are left?
Which competition, Serie A?
Yeah, no. In the Europa League, who are your top 3 favorites going into
the round of 16? Now, I would say Roma.
Yep. Number one. You had the number one last week. So do you want to keep that or are you going to keep
Roma at number one?
Change it. Okay.
Young boys.
Who's your number two? Okay. And who's your final?
That's a good question. Man United.
All right, mine's basically the same. Well, now that the Roma's out, Leverkusen's out, I'm going to put Roma as my number one favorite. I'm going to say Man United's second favorite, and I'm going to say Ajax.
So that pretty much covers this week's impromptu Europa League and Champions League episode. As always, we will be back on Monday discussing this week's Serie A matches. And once the champions in Europa League come back, then we'll be back every Friday night to discuss what has just occurred. So